Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts 16, verses 1 through 15. It's found on page 1159 in most of your pew Bibles. This passage is part of Paul's journey. It was right after he had had a disagreement with Barnabas, so he took someone else with him in this trip. Acts 16, verses 1 through 15. He, that is Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So far, the reading of God's word.
We're so glad to have you. I don't think I told you this before the service, but we're going through the letter of the Philippians this season, and so thank you for connecting us to the book of Acts.
Okay, great. It's good to be here. Hello. I think of about 39 years ago, my wife and I came here with our three boys, and later on, 9 years after our last boy, then we had a little girl born out in Iowa. So four in our family, and now we have, 16 grandchildren in addition to our own children. But some 39 years ago, came here, and I was ordained here in this congregation. I served as a mission church pastor in northern Alberta, Canada, north of 60 miles north of Edmonton, and then for some 5 years in the state of Washington. And after that, came back for further education, and then after another 6 years of education, came back and was ordained here. I think back to my first Sunday here, just a little tidbit story. First Sunday here, I wanted especially to be early. So we lived in a parsonage that was over by the armory at that time, not the parsonage up here. We lived in a parsonage that was by the public school and by the armory, and Marlene was getting the children ready, and I wanted to come over here early for church and to be here at least a half hour, 45 minutes early, something like that. And so I took this one little trail through behind the high school. There was all grass there at that time and reeds and different things like that, but there was a trail there. And I came across the little stream. And I jumped the stream, slipped, got both feet wet, and so my first Sunday here literally was preaching here with wet feet. And so, but What a blessing for you as a congregation to be celebrating 50 years of being here. But it's not only that we celebrate 50 years of being here. You are part of the vast church that our Lord Jesus Christ is redeeming from around the entire world and throughout the centuries. And so when we heard the word of God from the book of Acts chapter 16, that too was part of our church history in a much broader way. And go back beyond that. Go back beyond Acts chapter 16. I read these words from Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, it says, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews." People going from Jerusalem after the persecution of Stephen, and after the persecution at Jerusalem, people going to Phoenicia, which was to the northwest of Jerusalem, on the east coast of the Mediterranean, people going to the island of Cyprus, island in the Mediterranean, people going up north, some 300 miles north of the city of Jerusalem, going up to a place called Antioch. And there at Antioch, there were some of these brothers in Christ that they were going to do something different. The gospel for them was not just for us Jewish people. They were going to tell the message about Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, to the Greeks. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Now, these men are from Cyprus and Cyrene. That's not just simply a geographic statement, not just simply a statement of place. It's more than that. What is it like to be on an island, and what is it like to be in that type of geographic setting where there are ships going back and forth? The island of Cyprus. Anybody living on that particular island would meet with people from many different backgrounds. And Cyrene, that was a city on the north side of Africa. That too was a seaport. That too was a place of a lot of trade. And so people that are involved in, let's say, international trade, which it was in that time, they would be meeting up with many, many different kinds of people. People that were used to different foods. People that were used to different kinds of dress habits. These are the people who are familiar with others, and not just people of their own ethnic background and religious background. These are the people who would tell about Jesus Christ to the Greeks there in Antioch. And the Lord's hand was with them. We read in Scripture that a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The church there in Antioch, now a church of Jewish and Gentile believers. A church that had, right to the very depths of their being, a passion for the gospel. They talked about Jesus. They talked about his death and resurrection. They talked about the change in their lives. They had a passion for the gospel. And here were people who were fasting and praying. And while they were fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit came in a very particular way to some of the leaders of the church there and said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, later called Paul, for the work to which I have called them. That church at Antioch, 300 miles north of Jerusalem, becomes like the calling, the sending church for the missionary journeys that the Apostle Paul goes out on. That church there in Antioch is very significant for me, for you, because the direction of the gospel, as it went out from that church, the direction of the gospel went out in the direction of Europe from that church. And because of the gospel and the passion of these people in Antioch, the gospel came to people of my background and yours. How much we have to give thanks for those brothers from Cyprus and Cyrene, looking back at our church history. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas came back from that missionary journey. They reported back to the church there at Antioch all that God had done through them. And then later on, God was directing them again. And so from that congregation, this time two missionaries are sent out. This time it is Paul and Silas. And the scripture passage that we have read from this morning and heard, that was a passage that spoke about God's powerful grace reaching out to people. God's powerful grace directing the preaching of God's word, the message about Jesus Christ. Sent out again from that congregation, some 300 miles north of Jerusalem, they come to these missionaries, Paul and Silas, and also later on, Timothy joins up with them. Luke, the recorder, the historian, is with them. They come to central Turkey. And imagine this is central Turkey. We've come from over there. We've come from the city of Antioch over there, some north of Jerusalem. We've come over here to central Turkey. And here in central Turkey, now where shall we bring the word of God? Now where shall we talk to people about the death and the resurrection of Jesus and the need for commitment unto Jesus Christ? Can't go over there. That southwest part of Turkey was called Asia. When we think of Asia, we think of countries like China and Japan. When they thought of Asia, they thought of east of Istanbul, east of Constantinople. They thought of a corner, the southwest corner of what is now Turkey. That for them was Asia. And somehow the Spirit of God communicated to Paul, Paul, that's not the place. Okay, let's not go back that direction. God sent us from that direction. We can't go over there. We've gone to the churches right here. Well, where shall we go? And, well, what about Bithynia up there to the north? Spirit of God doesn't have them go either. To that place. Where can we go? Well, let's go a bit west, further northwest. Can't go southwest, can't go north, can't go back home again. Let's go over there to the west, let's go. But now we're as far as we can get. We are over by Troas, right along the sea again. And there, in that particular place in Troas, during the night, a vision. There's 12 different particular times in the book of Acts that the Apostle Paul receives very special direction. Not here, but here. For God directs the preaching of the gospel. And Paul has a vision from this man of Macedonia. He's standing, begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Not my plans for God, but God's plans for me and God's directing of me. Paul, you are to go to Macedonia. I have my people there. Philip, you are going to go to the desert road on the way to Gaza. Just go there. And as Philip goes there, he listens to this person who is riding along. And as this person is riding along, Philip hears him reading from an ancient scroll, reading about as a lamb being led to the slaughter, he didn't open his mouth. Reading about being cut off from the land of the living. The Spirit of God directed Philip there. And Philip explained what he was reading and told about Jesus, and that Ethiopian eunuch became a brother in Jesus Christ, part of the church, our church. Peter, you're living there by the Sea of Galilee. You're staying there by those vats that are very smelly, because you're staying there by the home of Simon the Tanner. But you're willing to be there in that home. And those vats were very smelly because manure was placed in there for the processing and tanning of leather. But Peter was willing to be there for the sake of the gospel until he received further directions. And up north there at Caesarea, there's a centurion who's over 100 different people, 100 soldiers. And an angel of the Lord meets him. Send men to Joppa. Get Peter from there. And listen to what he has to say. God directs the preaching of the gospel. In your celebration as a congregation of 50 years, ask yourself the question, why are we here? Are we here just simply because there were some families in the Netherlands that needed to move after World War II? Are we here because of struggles over there? Are we here because some came from New Jersey over here? Are we here because of industry? Are we here because of farming? There might be all of these kind of reasons. In the very same way, there were different reasons for people moving around in the ancient world. But God is directing the preaching of the gospel. Why is this church here? It's not just simply a reason, number of believers here. or farming opportunities, business opportunities. God has His purpose. I remember a number of years ago, had a class that was going to be making profession of faith. And there were about, I think around 12 different ones, something like that, that were going to make profession of faith. There were three different ones, I believe it was, that were going to be baptized as adults because they had not been raised in covenant homes. And there were a few children that were going to be baptized, children of believing parents. As part of the preparation for the time of profession of faith and baptism, remember having Bill and Telly DeGraff come to a class and meet in the corner classroom out there. And they went over the history of the church. My regret is that I did not record that. I regret not recording that because that was such a rich history of this church. How God brought different ones to bring the gospel here. How God brought pastors here. And how you as a congregation received them. How you had dinner times provided for them. Provided them lodging. All different ways that you facilitated this. And behind all of this is a story of God's powerful grace. Because this place is not here by accident. The gospel never goes any place just simply by accident. We make one of our statements in our confession of faith, the canons of Dort. We make this confession. The reason that God graciously brings the gospel to one and not to another must not be ascribed to the greater worth of one nation over another, or to the better light use of the light of nature, but to the free good pleasure and undeserved love of God. Why has this church been placed here? It is because of the free good pleasure and undeserved love of God. There's a statement in the Canons of Dort that has often done me good as a pastor, as I reflected on the teaching of Scripture and where God has placed me. There's Article 3 in Canons of Dort. In order that people may be brought to faith, God mercifully sends proclaimers of this very joyful message to the people He wishes, and at the time He wishes. This church, in this place, and proclaimers sent the gospel here to the people He wishes, and at the time He wishes. This is the work of God's powerful grace. And God not only brings the gospel to a certain place, but God works with that gospel. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis, and from there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. We became acquainted, we became familiar, we noticed the customs of people, we became connected with them in some ways. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the riverside. Normally, we would have gone to a Jewish synagogue, but a Jewish synagogue required some 20 men, at least 20 men, for the formation of a Jewish synagogue. Implication, there wasn't that number of Jewish men in this particular city of Philippi. So we went over there to the riverside where we expected to find a place of prayer. and we met some women there. This man of Macedonia comes over, that we see in a vision, come over and help us. We go, and we meet some women there. One of the names was Lydia. Dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. She's an international person. Comes across the water from the city of Thyatira, selling purple cloth. A woman who is connected not only with business, a woman who was connected in terms of the Old Testament scriptures. She was a worshiper of God, a God-fearer. And God-fearers, that was a term that was used in the New Testament for people that knew the Jewish background, knew the Jewish faith, and accepted so many of the Jewish traditions and ceremonies. But she didn't know about Jesus. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. That's the way the scripture puts it. That's the way God's powerful grace works. It's not just simply that Lydia opened up her heart and now she makes a choice for Jesus, that she is the one who is responsible for this. We read in the scripture that the Lord opened her heart. It is the Lord that gives faith. It's His powerful grace. Somebody gave to me an illustration one time about becoming a Christian. And it's an illustration that sounds good in a democratic society. She said something like this: Satan wants to have us and votes for us. On the other hand, God wants to have us and votes for us. And you have the deciding vote. Problem with that illustration, I would never vote for God. That's not within my heart. That was not within Lydia's heart. God did something first to her heart. God opened her heart. We say this statement in our Reformed faith in the Canons of Dort. In this way, therefore, faith is a gift of God, not in the sense that it is offered by God for man to choose, but in the sense that it is an actual fact bestowed upon man, breathed and infused into him. And we say, nor is it the gift in the sense that God bestows only the potential to believe and then waits to see for the assent, waits to see about the act of believing from man's choice. Rather, it is a gift in the sense that he who works both the willing and the acting and indeed works all things in all people, produces in man the will to believe and the faith itself, the belief itself. God gives us faith. God gave to Lydia faith. He opened up her heart so that her life was changed. And yes, God uses means. God uses the gospel. And we say in our creeds that's the gospel is a seed, the seed of regeneration. And you think about seed. Looks so insignificant. I mean, you people, you're so familiar with seeds, so familiar with planting. You take a little kernel of corn, looks so insignificant. But how many kernels can come from that? You take a message, a sermon, words. What can come from that? You take a lesson in cadets. What can come from that? You take a lesson in Calvinettes or gems. What can come from that? You go to a youth group. And you hear something, and on the one hand you say that's insignificant. What can come from that? You take a stranger who comes to a riverside, talks to some women there. What can come from that? What can come from that is that God uses the gospel and uses the gospel that is preached in this place for his purposes to give faith, to grant faith, to implant it. I remember a number of years ago, there were some young people who would come here every Sunday. There's about four or five of them. They would come every Sunday to hear God's word. Where were they from? Montreal. And they would drive all the way from Montreal to this church. And I've often wondered what has happened to that seed of the gospel. The time that we had about these young people and older ones that mentioned about making profession of faith and adult baptism, when that Sunday came about, just before church was about to start, here comes, I'm not sure if it was one or two, some ways I think it might have been two, tour buses pulled into the parking lot. People from the Netherlands came to this church and listened to God's word. God, throughout the years of this congregation, has brought his word from pastors and members of this church. And God works with the seed of that gospel to bring change in lives. Lydia's life was so changed, she said, if you consider me to be a believer, come and stay at my house. She was baptized. She wanted to belong to the people of God and have that sign of being washed and belonging to the people of God, connecting with the church. But her whole life was changed in such a way that she said to the Apostle Paul, you can look at me. If you consider me to be a believer, if you see that change in me, stay at my house. And they stayed. For when the gospel comes to a person and God's work has been with his powerful grace within the heart of a person, that person's life is changed. I think of Andrea, a young woman in Michigan, church has served in Wayland, Michigan. And Andrea was a new Christian. And I asked Andrea, now that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, now that you have accepted the Christian faith, what's different in your life? And I was expecting answers something like this about, I'm set free from my sins. Or my relationships are changed. Andrea answered me in a way that I never expected. But I think it's true. Andrea, what's different about your life now? She said, everything's different. She said, the sunsets on Lake Michigan are different. That one took me by surprise. The sunsets on Lake Michigan are different. But what she was communicating to me was this, that the change in her life was so pervasive, so encompassing, so grand that even when she looks at a sunset, that too is now different, recognizing that this is a sunset, brought about by her Creator, Redeemer, God. Everything was changed. And Lydia had that change in her life too. And I think about this congregation, and I think about your uniqueness as a congregation. And I think back to this passage of Scripture. There were some men from Cyprus and Cyrene. And I emphasized those places earlier. Men from Cyprus and Cyrene, and they told the gospel not only to Jews there in Antioch, but also to the Greeks there in Antioch, because they were familiar with that different type of cultures, and they were familiar with people eating different types of food. I think there is a connecting point with this church. Marlene and I are currently living near Hudsonville, Michigan. There are four or five Christian Reformed churches there, right there in Hudsonville. There's Reformed churches there. There's a lot of church life right there. Our neighbors on this side are Christian, that side, next house, and over across the road. We have so many contacts with people who are so much like what we are, just because of where we live. That's different here. That was different for these men from Cyprus and Cyrene. You have contacts, so many contacts, from people that are not from your cultural background. So many different connections with people that you work with or go to school with. You understand them. You're familiar with their customs. And of all people that can reach them for the gospel, you are the people. God has a place for this church. He brought the gospel to this place, and He has worked in this place in a very powerful way so that people have become believers in Jesus Christ from the gospel that has come here to this place. But that same gospel needs to continue to reach out to others, as God will richly continue to use you.